Well, sorry about that. I had to upload a couple of presentations in another session. My name is Ariana Torres, and what I want to present today is an in-country assessment of the Africa supply chain. This is a project that will finish, I believe, 2019. And I want to show you a little bit of data and a little bit of photos of what we've done. I see some familiar faces here. So Tajikistan, if you were wondering what it is, okay. If you were wondering where Tajikistan is, it's right there, Central Asia, where you look at stone fruits and dried fruits, a very rich area. If you want to compare, it's slightly smaller than Wisconsin, but it's growing very fast. It's supposed to have 9 million people in 2018, according to the UN. Was part of the Soviet Union until 91, but it had a civil war for 5 years, which kind of gets some trouble within the political and economical situation, which pretty much they've become the poorest country in the former Soviet sphere. There are a couple of reasons, but I look at it very optimistically, very ethnically diverse. And I think that's true for most ex-Soviet countries. You have people from ethnicities rather than countries living in Tajikistan, and 90% of them Muslims. But they went through a lot of Christian Orthodox through the Soviet times as well. The part of the project that we're focused is in the Khatlon region, which is in the south. Tajikistan has 4 regions. The Khatlon is probably the largest with 34%, and then the Sukht region. And why I'm talking about the Sukht region, which is in the north, it's because that's the most developed ag supply chain. 60% of the employment from Tajikistan comes from agriculture, which generates about 30% of the gross domestic product. Tajikistan is a leader in seed and stone fruits in Central Asia, which makes a very nice introduction for why we're working with apricots beyond the economical reasons. So I told you that the Sukht region, which is the first region we visited last year in June, was the region with the most developed ag supply chain for many crops. One of the reasons is, well, they do have crop varieties. So during the Soviet times, there were the orchard for Russia or for the Soviet Union. And Khatlon was producing primarily cotton due to the excess of water. They have a lot of glaciers and a lot of mountains. They do have these value-added protocols, and I think what drives most of this growth is because their proximity to Russia. So they're closer when you look into Tajikistan. They're closer into Moscow, and also they have more buyers, exporters, and processors in that region. And I'm going to show you a few photos of that. So if you look at the orchards of apricots, they have 89% of the orchards. They're in the north. So in Tajikistan, apricots can be consumed as fresh. You have many varieties. They also can be consumed as dried and as compote. And compote, it's a beverage that is consumed past summer, so winter, fall, and the next spring. And basically, after farmers dry their fruits, they make this drink with these dried apricots. Very good. The dried apricots account for 50% of all dried fruit exports. So within the dried fruit exports that majority come through the Sukht region, the north, 50% of them are apricots. About 16 million in 2013. Those were the last statistics that we were able to find. I should say that availability of data, it's scarce. So that's one of the reasons that we collect the data over there. So when we look at Tajikistan, and we know that most families have an apricot tree, and the apricot tree will produce, and I'm going to show you, between May and September, depending on the variety. So you're going to have, I compare it as Latin America. Most people have either an avocado or a mango tree. Well, in Tajikistan, most houses will have an apricot tree. And one of the reasons is after the Soviet Union dissolved, every household would have a piece of land. So they would have some land, and they would have some fruit trees. Most of the apricots go for consumption, and then the rest go for domestic markets, and very few go to the export markets, which is primarily coming from the north, the region that I showed you, the Sukht. There are estimates that the demand of apricots is increasing. One of the reasons is during the summertime, a lot of men from Tajikistan migrate to Russia due to work, so get labor. A statistic from Tajikistan say that 50% of the households have at least one family member that have migrated to Russia during the summertime. And people are increasing their disposable income with their population growth as well. So I wanted to show you what we wanted to aim and what I'm going to talk very briefly. So a baseline assessment, we collected data on a series of factors. We wanted to know what is the industry, and we wanted to create partnerships with Tajikistan stakeholders. And we were able to meet with all those groups of people, and primarily working with the Tajik Agrarian University and faculty there. This is from the data that we collected, how we see the apricot supply chain in Tajikistan, where we have farmers, and farmers can be Dehqan, which is a community of farmers. It's not very popular to have co-ops in Tajikistan, but there exist some. There are some that exist. Most of them are commercial or household producers, and they would sell to middlemen most of the fruit, especially fresh. Some of them go to the consumers directly if they dry it, but those are domestic markets. And those middlemen are the ones selling directly to processors, wholesalers, and retailers. We met with some farmers, co-op farmers, that sell directly to processors and some retailers, but those are not, according to the information, those are not the majority. And then we have different stakeholders as well. So government, farmers, associations, extension services, which are private. So not like the U.S. where you would have universities doing extension. During the Soviet time, and I believe the German government created these extension entities that would provide services, but they are, during the Soviet time, they were for free. Now farmers have to pay. But these are the key players. So the visit to the northern region, the Souk region, where they have a more advanced apricot supply chain, they have three varieties. There is a horticultural research station where they're doing some research on varieties and the amount of juice that they can get after it's dried and the amount of water content. I had a video which is going to be skipped for this time. And we have all the varieties, and how are they doing their notes? We see in the middle, it's a chimney, which is a dryer, and the second part is a big producer. This is a massive producer. Most of the, during the drying and the harvesting, most of the people in the households are going to be working on apricots. So we see a lot of kids and a lot of women. That's another dryer. We were focusing on dryer, and the other photo, it's a dried fruit without taking out the seed, which is basically for compote. The apricot dry in the north, farmers tend to know what to do. So harvest, washing, and pitting the apricots, sulfur it, sun dry it for 8 to 10 days, and flip them. And we see this operation had a lot of, and they would export to through Kyrgyzstan to Russia. They have some value-added industries. They're making juice, so that one orange thing is juice, and they have some, majority of them were for fresh apricots, so that's something that this operation that hasn't been running yet are aimed to do. So, and they do have some domestic markets for fresh and dried apricots. Since our area of interest was the Heartland region, we recruited 50 farmers, and we got 22 farmers for about 40%. Recruitment rate, and we got 50% of women and 50% of men. We asked them, so we just divided the district in four, the region in four districts, and we asked them all sorts of questions from market, household, technological factors, and their barriers they have. And I'm going to show you very brief data since I don't have time. We did compensate the farmers something that it was equivalent to 1 day of work, since they were with us, and they travel, and 1 day of traveling. I have a minute. I'm going to show you this. What we knew and what we found, Hathwan farmers have fewer years of experience, so we're talking about between 5 years and 3 generations of growing apricots. They have, their apricot represents a lower source of farm income, between 5 to 20% versus 100% in the north. Fewer export quality varieties, which are going to decrease the yield, of course, and the knowledge of drying is lower, and I'm going to show you how. They're more distant, and their buyers, most of the buyers are in the north. So just to compare northern fresh apricots, we have those apricots that are more orange and that are more attractive for export markets versus the southern fresh apricots. They're going to be more yellow and green. So when they dry, if they don't apply sulfur, they're going to be brown, not appealing. Northern dried apricots, we found some things that can be improved, and that's part of what we're going next for next year. It's how can we improve the protocol versus the southern dried apricots, where we see brown and sometimes open so they don't depict it. They don't form this circumference into the center of the apricot. And they grow in the shade, which just going to decrease the quality, how it looks like, because shade and lack of sulfur just keeps the apricots brown. So I'm learning also about drying, even though I'm an economist. However, there's a lot of water, a lot of canals from the Soviet times. So they have a lot of water, beautiful weather, that they can be grown. The best apricot orchards in the south are owned by the president. And so there is room for getting that knowledge. The president gets a lot of knowledge from the extension services because he's willing to pay for those. So we know that the knowledge exists. It's just getting the tree variety. So I'm going to just tell you very briefly what we concluded. I had a lot of data, and I don't know how much time, which was very... So farmers' perceptions of production, drying, and marketing. So according to the district, women tend to be less knowledgeable in general, in overall, because most of the women that are running farms, their husbands are in Russia, or they're widows. So they didn't cite any production barriers. However, we know that the varieties that they grow are not suitable for export. They don't dry in the sun, and they don't apply sulfur. So, but they actually said, well, we need the protocols. Men also did mentioned the same. The access to trays, ladders, and other technologies for harvesting and drying. All of them are aware that quality is a big deterrent to get price premiums. And this is the prices that we collected here. So if we look into men usually get a higher price for fresh apricots, and they get a higher price for dried apricots because some of them are applying sulfur. 80% of the farmers apply sulfur that we interviewed versus female. Very few female. Yeah. And so that's what we suggest, improve the fruit varieties, access to inputs, the knowledge of post-harvest, and access to buyers. So we believe there is a lot of data that can be collected and can be found, can produce very good results, but we need probably a larger sample and more time in the country. Thank you very much. Oh, I want to thank everyone involved in this project. This is just me talking, but there's a lot of people that made this possible, and those are some of them. Thank you.